Hey there, do make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And with that out of the way, let's get these. Yes, I'm sure you must have seen the title and you're wondering that, what's going on here? This can't be right. So yes, let's just talk about it. It's clickbait, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, that is not the only thing you need to know, because what will not happen to the host with the most? Tell me, what will happen to Fumi Pepe? Okay, enough. We have a lot to talk about today, so let's just get into that. If you're new here, welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this week's episode is going to be part of an ongoing series called the People You Should Know, But You Don't, But Now You Know, and you're welcome. It's a series where we showcase the stories and accomplishments of individuals who are not always well known in society, from inspiring figures to controversial personalities. In this series, we will discuss the lives and the legacies of these people and examine the impact they've had on their communities. By the way, these people would mainly focus on African figures or African people, that's what this show is all about. But enough of that said, let's get into the woman of the hour, Funmilayo Anikulapo Kuti, or Funmilayo Ransom Kuti, or if you know her as Florence Thomas. It don't matter what you call her, her impact or her legacy is undeniable. This woman is a great, one of the greats of the countries. And like, I remember the first time I came across the name Funmilayo Ransom Kuti was when I was in primary school. And back then was in current affairs class, where we had to learn, you know, all these random facts about, or random history facts. And I remember learning that Funmilayo Ransom Kuti was the first woman to drive a car. And that stayed with me ever since I was little, because of that was the first Fumi that I've seen done anything, or like first time I had seen my name in like any history book or whatever. So it was inspiring even back then, just knowing that there is a Fumi. And in the next few minutes, I'm going to try to tell her story and showcase how the things she did during her lifetime were able to help the people back then, and even till now, how we benefit from the works of this legendary woman. One important thing I also want to mention is that, if you've noticed, I've used like two different names. Like I've said Funmilayo Ransom Kuti and I've said Funmilayo Anikulapo Kuti. That's one interesting thing about her, is that at several points in her life, Funmilayo had to change her name, and it was like every time she changed it, it was due to her having a different understanding of the world and her different views. Often one way she manifested that difference was changing her name. And yeah, it's quite interesting. We'll explore all of that and more. So enough talking. Let's get this. Frances Abigail Olufunmilayo Olufela Folorunsọ Thomas. Yes, that's all one person. In 1914, Frances would make history as the first female student of Abeokuta Grammar School. After finishing from Abeokuta Grammar School, Frances would leave Nigeria for the United Kingdom to further her education, not knowing it would lead to events that would shape the rest of her life. Notice how I've been calling her Frances? Well, the first name change would occur while she was in the United Kingdom. This change was probably due to her personal experiences with racism. During her time in the United Kingdom, Funmilayo was exposed to a different socio-political system than what she experienced in Nigeria, which was very patriarchal and was still under the British rule at the time. This provided her with a unique perspective on society and politics. This new understanding, alongside our personal experiences and our education, likely played a significant role in shaping our views on social justice and equality. After her stay in the UK, she returned to Abeokuta, where she worked as a teacher. In 1925, Funmilayo Thomas married a certain Reverend Israel Oladotun Ransom Kuti. Israel worked as a school principal and was committed to fostering unity and breaking down ethnic and regional barriers. He later played a key role in the establishment of both the Nigerian Union of Teachers and the Nigerian Union of Students. Their marriage would last 30 years until Israel's passing. They had 4 children, a daughter, Dolapo, and 3 sons, Olikoye, Olufela, and Bekolari. Following our marriage, Funmilayo turned her focus to other educational and social initiatives. In 1928, she established one of Nigeria's first preschools and founded a club for young women from elite families. Additionally, she organized classes for illiterate women. In subsequent years, Funmilayo's activism would increase greatly. In 1932, she was instrumental in the establishment of the Abeokuta Ladies Club. Initially, the club was focused on charity work and also the empowerment of women through adult education classes and also teaching vocational skills to middle-class women. But in the 1940s, a shift occurred. Funmilayo Ransom Kuti became more politically active through her involvement in the Ladies' Club. This shift was prompted by an illiterate friend who sought for help learning how to read from Funmilayo. This led Funmilayo to organize literacy workshops for her and other market women through the club. Through this experience, Funmilayo gained a deeper understanding of the social and political inequalities faced by many Nigerian women, and she became more committed to advocating for their rights. She quickly became popular amongst market women as she was their voice against oppression, a role she didn't take lightly. She famously once said,
"The true position of Nigerian women had to be judged from the women who carried babies on their backs and farmed from sunrise to sunset, not women who used tea, sugar, and flour for breakfast."
That was a real recording of what she said. That was. But anyways, let's move on. In 1944, she championed the campaign that ended the seizing of rice from market women by local authorities under false pretense. In 1946, the club changed its name to the Abeokuta Women's Union, the AWU, and opened its membership to all women in Abeokuta. Funmilayo Ransom Kuti, along with Grace Eniola Soyinka, founded the organization. And yes, if the name rings a bell, that's because that's the wife of the legendary Wole Soyinka, and who also was the niece of Israel Ransom Kuti. So I just find it how it's interesting now all these like famous and influential people it just seems like they always know each other and they are related one way or the other. But anyways, let's just let's just go on. The AWU was focused on fighting against unfair price controls and taxes imposed on market women. It grew to represent 20,000 official members and up to 100,000 additional supporters. To unite the women and avoid conflict due to class, every member of the AWU wore traditional Yoruba clothing and spoke Yoruba. Fumilayo's first major political action came when she led the AWU in a protest against taxes on women of Abeokuta. So this one is quite interesting. So what was happening was that in addition to the regular taxes that the market women paid, there was a special tax that went directly to market supervisors. So the villain of the story, the local traditional ruler of Abeokuta, Alake Ademola II, he was part of the colonial administration's indirect ruling system. What happened was that he imposed this special tax on the market women. So, obviously, Fumilayo was not going to stand for this. So, and the AWU, they tried and they failed. They tried to appeal to the British authorities to make the current Alake stop the taxes. And the British authorities were like, no. Because I'm sure maybe they were getting money from you or whatever. So, in response, the AWU contacted newspapers and circulated petitions to put pressure on the authorities. They're like, okay, if you won't do something, we'll do something. They also organized protests, and like to protest, what they would do were they were refusing to pay the tax itself, which is quite the obvious one, but that wasn't enough. They were also staging vigils outside the Alake's palace and demanding that women had representation on the executive council of Seoul Native Authority System, the SNA, which was the board that was responsible for, you know, those kind of decisions that affected market women and their daily lives. Like I can't even imagine what it would be being talking about, like, you're trying to like sleep in the night and after trying to cash out by taxing market women, and you're trying to sleep and you're having like, I don't know, 15, 17,000 women outside your palace at night. I know it must have been like, maybe someone came to ask him that, Ogawi, and was like, what's going on?
This is nothing but a man joke. It can't be possible.
Or something like that, but. So, in retaliation, in the late 1940s, the Abeokuta authorities, basically the Alake, banned women from organizing protests or demonstrations. I'm sure it was like, it was tired of having sleepless nights. I was like, no more protests for you. But this didn't stop Fumilayo or the AWU from protesting, but they couldn't protest. So what did they do? They gathered in this their large groups, and this time they called them picnics or festivals. So in under the guy, imagine like all these people, like 5,000 people, they are coming, they are bringing their baskets, and you know what they want to do, but you know you can't stop them. Oh my god, this whole story is so funny. Yeah, let's go on. Now their parades or their events drew thousands of participants, and of course sometimes it resulted in altercations with the police. So Fumilayo trained women in how to deal with tear gas, and the AWU provided legal support for arrested members through the money they got from membership dues. So there was this event that happened. So what happened was like the British district officer told Fumilayo Rasamkuti to quiet women down, her and her women, like, quiet, keep short. And Fumilayo's response was golden. Like, what she said was, it was okay. She said,
"You may have been born, but you were not bred. Would you speak to your mother like that?
Yeah, that's what. And respectfully, I'm like, they are capping. There's like, there is no way you would tell the African woman, an African mother, to keep quiet. And not only are you telling her to keep quiet, you're telling her to tell other women to keep quiet. It's not happening. Like, I'm sure what happened, like, she would have said something like,
Oriye, what's it dark? Oh, so called Oriye, Lada. Oriye, what's it buru?
Oh, so like, what, you know African women now, you know we know our people, like God. Kasala will box that day, like, man. So that, but anyways, let's move on. So in 1948 there was a major conflict between the AWU and the authorities. The Yalake was like, I've had enough. So what he did was that he banned Fumilayo from entering the palace for political meetings, and he called the AWU women
vipers that could not be tamed.
So, of course, you know, Fumilayo was not going to take this lightly. Was not going to just sit down and take this, neither were the AWU. So, in response, AWU members blocked the palace entrance and held the visiting British district officer's car and refused to let it go until he pried their hands loose from the car. Like, like, have you seen that? Like, I'm sure some of you have seen that. Hey, help me video.
Hey, help me. If they call me, they call me, I don't know. Help me.
I'm sure, like, so that was not what was happening, but. But okay, anyways, let's go on. Public sympathy grew in support of the women, and the AWU continued to protest the taxes. They used petitions, press conferences, letters to newspapers, demonstrations, basically everything. They were not going to back down. And in April of that year, the Alake admitted defeat. He was like, okay, I'm done. You win. And the Alake suspended the tax on the women and also appointed a committee to address the AWU's complaints. It's also worth noting that he temporarily stepped down. Like, the air was so large. I was like, bro, I need a break. Fumilayo's work with the AWU received widespread attention. And in fact, the West African pilot described her as the lioness of Lisabi. After this mini victory, Fumilayo would go on to work tirelessly in the pursuit of equality and social justice. In 1947, Fumilayo Ransome-Kuti was the only woman in a delegation from the National Council of Nigeria and the Cameroon's party, the NCNC, that went to London to protest a proposed Nigerian constitution. While there, she gave speeches about women's issues in Nigeria, and she also wrote an article for the Daily Worker claiming that colonial rule had disadvantaged Nigerian women politically and economically. In 1949, she proposed the creation of the Nigerian Women Union, and she served as its president. The newly formed union fought for the right of women to vote in elections, the dismantling of electoral colleges, and more balanced representation of women in politics. Fumilayo would go on to achieve a whole lot in the pursuit of bettering the lives of the average Nigerian woman. She did a whole lot, and some of her notable achievements include the abolishment of the whip punishment in 1949. Before this, women were publicly flogged for alleged moral offenses. She participated in the Women's International Democratic Federation Conference in 1950. And it's also worth mentioning her work with the Women's Energy Mass Action Committee. Fumilayo Ransome-Kuti would change her name one more time in the early 1970s. Inspired by her son, Fela, who changed his surname to reject European colonialism, she also changed her surname to Anikulapo Kuti. Anikulapo roughly translates, you know what, rather than saying it, just hear it from Fela himself.
My name is Anikulapo. I have death in my pouch. I can't die. They can't kill me.
Powerful. That's such a powerful name. I love the name. Funmilayo worked tirelessly in the fight against the oppression of women and the poor. This made her popular amongst the ordinary folks. But this wasn't the same amongst authorities, who saw Funmilayo and her family in general as a pain in the ass. As a pain in the bottom side. Funmilayo was known for her criticism of the Nigerian government. She visited Fela at his compound, and she was there on February 18, 1977, when a group of armed soldiers surrounded and stormed the property. As soon as the soldiers broke inside, they began destroying property and assaulting the residents. Fela and Bear Kolari were beaten and severely injured. She was thrown out a window, severely injuring her, and she was later hospitalized. She eventually fell into a coma and died on April 13, 1978, due to the injuries sustained in the attack. 1 year after Fumilayo's death, Fela took a coffin and traveled to Dondam Barracks in Lagos. Back then, it was Nigeria's supreme military headquarters. He took the coffin as a form of protest against the government's role in his mother's death. He left the coffin at the gate in an attempt to shame the government. This event is described in his song, Coffin for the Head of State. You should give it a listen. The lasting impact of Funmilayo Anikulapo Kuti's activism on Nigeria and beyond cannot be ignored. I mean, she was a trailblazing figure in Nigeria's fight for independence from Britain. She worked tirelessly to improve the status of women in society and was not afraid to challenge societal expectations. I mean, she was the first woman to drive a car in Nigeria, the first woman to receive the National Honor of Membership in the Order of Nigeria. She was appointed chairman of the Advisory Board of Education by the Western Nigerian State Government, and she served as a consultant to the Federal Ministry of Education on recruitment of teachers for other countries. She was the first woman appointed to the Western House and one of the few women to have position in any Nigerian House of Chiefs at the time. And the list goes on and on and on. And, I mean, what else is there to say about this woman? She came into a world that was not fair. And she saw what was wrong. She was able to identify it, and she fought for what she, like, she saw something that she didn't like about the world, and she did something about it. And I mean, that in itself is inspiring. That just goes to show that if, you know, like they say that, like, if you don't like something, you can just go and fix it. No matter how big or how impossible it looks, you can do it. I mean, if she can, you can. I mean, I can't, but I don't know about you. Okay, I'm just kidding, but she's one hell of a woman, and she's somebody you should know. And yeah, you're welcome for getting schooled. I'm just kidding. But that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening so far. And I mean, this woman is legendary. But I must let me add one more. Let me just say something. Of the many things she was able to achieve, or of her many achievements, we have to acknowledge the fact that she never was the host with the most. So at least with that little point, I hope I've been able to convince and not to confuse you that that's not the only Fumi you should know. At least, please, no Fumi Pepe, please. But anyway, I'm just kidding. Thank you for listening. I'll catch you all same time next week. Stay safe. Make sure you're following the podcast on Twitter at mafejokwamipod and follow the podcast on Instagram at, you guessed it, mafejokwamipod. If you listened up to this point, you're a what? You're a G, you're a rock star. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Please, they help a lot, so please subscribe, share the podcast to as many people as you can. Make sure to stay jiggy, drink water, mind your business, but most importantly, Joe, Mafia Joe by me.